When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hi, villains, and welcome to For the Love of Paul McGrath podcast. Neil and Paddy back again after that Leicester game where Brendan Rodgers extended his winning streak away in Villa Park against Aston Villa again. To, I think the commentator said that this was, he'd won all his five previous, so this makes it six times he's played in Villa Park against Villa. And he brought his Leicester team there well-marshalled, well-schooled, tactically driven, and they came out 2-1 victors against Aston Villa. Paddy, how are you feeling after that? It's nearly 8 o'clock here. We've had time to kind of semi-simmer down after it, but how are you feeling after that game?
No, it was fine. I was fine after it as well. I'm disappointed to lose the game. Not pissed off by any stretch of the imagination. We didn't turn up in the first half. We badly missed Jack, I thought, but we were beaten by the better team and we could have very easily got back into it. So, you know, I've no reason to be pissed off or too angry. You know, there's certain things in the game I wasn't happy about, but sure, I'm sure we'll get to them. But in general, I'm okay.
Yeah, it's like, it's a sign of this team and where we've gone to this year, whereby we're pissed off that we don't beat Leicester. You know,
as I said before the game, we weren't expecting to win the bloody thing. So, you know, to be, if someone said to you on Thursday you won't have Jack and they're going to beat you 2-1, you probably would have went, yeah, okay, that's fine with me. I think it was just the fact that they bossed us for the first 45 minutes was a bit harder to take, and some players were missing in action. So you know, they're a really, really good side. They're going to finish second or third by the looks of it. I don't think there's anything to be really embarrassed about other than, you know, our failure to show up in the first half. And it's always going to be difficult to readjust knowing that everything wasn't going to go through Jack Grealish.
Yeah.
So it was going to take a while to get into it. Unfortunately, it just took a little bit too long. That's just what I felt about it anyway.
I thought the commentators made a great point as well about Brendan Rodgers, that after last year when they were second in the league and they looked to be challenging Liverpool, their title challenge completely hit a brick wall and they dropped out of the top four. You know, and that they have a point to prove to themselves this year that they can actually be in the top four and that they can, you know, run with Wolves, I suppose, really. Yeah. Not with Wolves, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's run with the Foxes, I think is actually the proper term. Yeah. And they really do. They really have that to prove to themselves. And they seem to be going about it.
They will stick it out, I think. I think they made a point of saying that they've won every game and won well, other than today in the aftermath of their European games. So we probably did much better than others have fared out. Now, going back to your first comment about Brendan Rodgers beating us in every game, they conveniently forgot that we beat them in the Cup semi-final.
In the Cup semi-final, yeah. I think they did say a Premier League game. I think they did
probably Venice, yeah. But I remember hearing it at the time going, you know, the way you're kind of just half listening to the drivel that they come out with. But yeah, it was just like, oh, did we not win the semi-final?
Anyway. Yeah, it's but look, it is. It's one of those things that we do. I don't know whether every team has this, but we seem to have a lot more people who've got winning streaks or scoring streaks, or we're their favourite team to score against. We seem to do have those more than most other teams. And I made that I made that point as well today. I was speaking to a Leicester fan, and I spoke about Jamie Vardy and Iheanacho and stuff like that. And we notified Jamie Vardy today. I think the weekend the weekday took a bit out of him, yeah. But Tyrone Mings, I thought, was very good in him today.
He was excellent, yeah. I think even a 60% fit Jamie Vardy is going to give you lots of problems, so yeah. He marshalled him well. I think he only got in at one stage. He ended up taking too much of a heavy touch, and yeah. It brought him onto the end line near enough.
Yeah.
But I thought Tyrone Mings did a great job. I listened to the match with no background noise today because it was on Sky, so all you could hear was Tyrone's booming voice, and he's without a doubt a leader on the pitch, so...
Commentators alluded to that as well. They said that himself and Conor Cody are definitely the two loudest players that they've come across in this COVID Premier League situation. Which is good in itself, I suppose. The fact that there's been a marshalling and leadership going on there, and I thought Tyrone Mings did pretty well today. We might as well talk about. We'll come to it in a moment. But I suppose we'll go in chronological order. Obviously, it had been swirling around on Twitter and on other social media that Jack Grealish was going to be out. You had seen everything from had his leg amputated to a manicure gone wrong all over the internet. He didn't start. I think it probably became pretty apparent, you know, in the lead up to the game that he wasn't going to start as more and more rumors started swirling on Twitter. But he didn't start. And Dean Smith has said after the game that he might be there for Leeds, might be there for Sheffield United. He was very coy and very kind of, be honest with you, he seemed a bit pissed off about the leak, which I think I would be as well, because look, we can all sit here and say that Aston Villa, we've made strides as a team, but look, fuck it, we've got a talisman, like, and there's no shame in that, saying that I'm not going to say we're a one-man team, but we're fucking heavily predicated on Jack Grealish, and that's okay. I don't mind that. Yeah. You know, it's not an awful thing to say about our team.
No, I don't think everyone believed the league either, let alone Brendan Rodgers, because Brendan Rodgers played two right backs starting the game again. You know, so we couldn't. The league obviously wasn't that strong that there were, you know, there were so many people doubting what they were hearing. I had heard it Friday early on. I wasn't sure. Then as the photos started to, probably the worst thing to do is show photos on the day before they stopped training as such. You know?
And they asked, who would you like to see next?
Where's Jack? And you're just going, if Jack is carrying an injury, you're showing all your cards. So I think that might be the end of showing pictures on the last day before training. I think you've got to regroup with that one for me. But look, it didn't have an effect with Rodgers' team sheet. He played the second rifle, as I say, albeit he played him a bit further on. But there's no doubt they were set up to doubly mark up on Jack when he got the ball.
To be honest with you, Eve, like, if that was their plan to go out in the game, and they only found out an hour beforehand, they didn't do a very good job even of doing it on Al Ghazi. Because, like, Al Ghazi notified himself.
He did.
And look, that's not me having a crack off him. I just thought he was immensely ineffective out there on the left-hand side. I thought he looked like a guy who woke up and just doubted himself today. I don't think, like, usually what you can say about Al Ghazi is he's super confident. Remember, he was taking 11, 12 shots a game there at one stage. He looked unbelievably unsure of himself. He looked like so low on confidence. And I wonder, does he suffer from that? I wonder, is that apparent with him? But then again, is it a nervous thing? It's a strange one. You think that maybe they would see that and they'd know that, that little idiosyncrasy from being around him day in, day out, if that was the case. But he looked terribly nervous today. He looked like he felt that he knew he couldn't do, he couldn't get past Castagnier and Pereira. But they didn't put an awful lot of pressure on him either at the same time.
No, I think in between handing in your team, you can't change it, otherwise you're going to lose a sub, you know? I think that's how it works, is it?
Well, you can, like, if someone gets injured, but you can't someone just go, oh, shit, listen.
Yeah, Jack's not playing, we're changing. It would have ruled out whoever he had picked there as well, so they would have had to say, it would have looked particularly bad because everybody knew what they were trying to do. But it's, we'll probably get on to El Ghazi been in. Well, there's not much more to say. He was ineffective as it was. But, you know, to me, it seems like it's an impact injury because they're not. He obviously trained Friday and it was probably too late to get the scan done. So the scan is probably there for tomorrow just to see how bad it is. So they may not, although you would think a professional outfit like that could have done the scan over the weekend. And maybe they couldn't if there was inflammation on it. So there could be a bit swollen or whatever.
Yeah, and so, you know, you never know like what the situation is with COVID and stuff like that. The fact that like, I don't know, do they have an X-ray machine in Ballymore? I would be very surprised if they did. But maybe it might be something worth investing in. Who knows? Like we've got Wes Edens. I know that a lot of US sports teams will have X-ray facilities in their stadia, or at least in their
training facility.
Look, I'm not saying that Aston Villa should go in and purchase an X-ray machine. I've no fucking idea what the hell the story is. Maybe an X-ray machine isn't even the right thing.
I wouldn't be one bit surprised if there is one there.
Yeah.
I don't know how much they cost, but I would imagine that's probably the case. But if there's inflammation and swelling or whatever around, and he was very vague, it was a leg injury, you know, so that covers everything from the groin down to a big toe.
Did say that. He goes, could be a shin, could be a thigh. I thought he was a bit, he was biting his tongue, I think, an awful lot when he was talking about it, and rightly so, because there's no point having a big blow up, because then not only does it look like, well, he doesn't know what to do without Jack Grealish, it also looks like he's a sour loser. So I thought he handled it pretty well. I think, like he said, that he's going to find out where the leak came from. I wouldn't like to be the person. He did seem pretty bullish about that.
I didn't see that bit. Was that on Sky?
Ashley Preece had it in Birmingham Mail. Interview with him afterwards. It was a transcript. And I wonder, will players be told, fuck your fantasy football team, you know, because there was three or four of them transferred him out on Friday night. So like little things like that, you know, you're either all in.
Including Matt Target. So it was quite obvious.
Connor Horan did it as well, and there was somebody else. I think I read a couple of people did it as well.
Yeah, there was a couple of coaches or backroom staff, and then there was Connor Horan and there was Matt Target, I think, transferring them out. So
yeah.
I didn't realize you could look at somebody's fantasy team like that, but anyway, that could be a lot of shite as well. But
absolutely, it could be. Paddy, I was just looking up Dundee and adverts there. There's no X-ray machines going, so I can't tell you what price they are, unfortunately, but. If there's any medical reps out there to be able to tell us the going rate for an X-ray machine, we might do another whip around and see if we can get one for Ballymore Heat, if there isn't one there already. So I suppose going with the first goal, Paddy. I'm here and I'm trying to think what was the first goal even like. It was Madison's goal. Talk to me about the first goal. Something that we haven't seen happen to Aston Villa at all this year. Even the games against Leeds and Southampton, you know, where we were comfortably beaten. This goal was very alien to Aston Villa. Talk me through what your view of this one was.
Well, I suppose the most alien part is that Elmo stood off the player, and we just haven't been doing that all along. That was my initial thoughts on it. The amount of rubbish I've read afterwards blaming Emi Martinez for it was it's gone. Like, let's face it, it was a good finish. He struck it well. Martinez did well to get anything on it at all. And it's a fine line. Another finger in that fingertip, and it's probably come back off the post and into Martinez's hands. And, you know, we wouldn't be talking about it now as it is. But look, it was a good goal. I thought the defence stood off him too easy and allowed him to get the ball to him. Was there a pass to Madison in the first place?
I think Gary Barnes laid it off to Madison.
What I was annoyed with was the fact that Elmo stood off Harvey Barnes. You just can't give them that amount of time. If they get the ball anywhere around the box, they can just punish you. They have the firepower there to do it. It's not something we have, although Bertie has done it on occasion.
He's a second top scorer, I think, isn't he?
Bertie? Is he now?
Maybe after Jack, maybe he might be our third.
Yeah. So look, that was just my opinion on it. I thought I immediately pointed at Elmo and went, sorry, you should have got a bit bit tighter there. I thought in general his defensive play was a bit off the pace. I'm not going to go gung-ho into him because his match practice is down. We need to give him a bit of leeway on it. You know, it is what it is. We had an injury last week and he had to get up to speed to be able to play today. He lasted the 90 minutes. Being honest, I wouldn't like to see him playing there against Leeds. I think Leeds would slaughter him. I think they'd see it as a weakness and they'll exploit it. So, you know, I think Leeds is the game for throwing Kane Kessler in and let him sink or swim. But look, I think it's the case now. You know, he's going to push Chuck Mwenka and Kessler into the squad. Let's see what they can do because we haven't even got to talk about Ross Barkley yet, which I'm sure we will. So, I'm not even including Ramsey in that sentence because Ramsey's part of the project now, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, very much so, very much so. Let's talk about the second goal first, and I suppose then we can go on and we can look at potential changes, and you know the excitement I suppose of having those people on the bench. Some people see it as a negative. For me, that is crazy talk. Absolutely crazy. The fact that we cry out for wanting to bring through these young players, and we all, you know, wax lyrically about them when they get an opportunity to play in the under-23s. And look, none of these players got an opportunity to play against Liverpool, and we all had a big, massive, God, I nearly said something awful there, but I won't say it. We had a big love it over our kids over the Liverpool game, which was rightly so, and absolutely they played fantastically. But these three guys are a step above. Kessler did play, but like Kearney and Jacob Ramsey were a step up. But before we get on to those, the second goal, I think very much the kind of the same vein. Actually, before we even get on to the second goal, first goal, I suppose just my thoughts on that were the alien piece. I thought the piece that was alien for me was Villa have been very good since Project Restart has come back of defending the D. We allow teams come, bring the ball through middle and midfield, but we always have that wall set up in front of our back four in the form of Douglas Luiz. He protects that 5 yards, that 6 yards, that 7 yards in front of the D, and he allows the two centre halves to retreat back onto the edge of the area. Absolutely textbook stuff. Not exactly reinventing the wheel with defence like that, but it's fantastic. Where did Madison pick the ball up? In that very singular space. And the reason for that was, and I said it to the end of the review, 4-3-3 just does not suit Ross Barkley. It does not suit John McGinn was in and out of this game today. Got a lot of touches, got a lot of bits and pieces on the ball today, but just a small bit ineffective as well. And I think we're beginning to maybe give him a pass a small bit much. And I think that, you know, we need to look at our midfield three. Absolute colossus, all of them were at the start of the season. I'm not even going to say that they're running out of steam now, but I think that just like we talk, teams have learned to put two on Jack Grealish, but teams have also learned how to drag our midfield in and around the place, you know, take them by the hand and drag them around.
It's funny that you should mention that because I have the highlights on loop here in front of me since we started. Yeah. It's actually Ross Barkley that gets closest to it by the time the first goal goes in.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense at all. But look, you've hit the nail on the head there. Both goals have actually come from the edge of the D, which we're usually marshalling very well. The second goal, you know, I think you got a point at Elmo again. Initially not getting to the fourth one, and then ball watching for the second one, and Barnes gets in behind him. Don't think you can put too much blame on Emi Martinez. It was fairly fizzed at him, the forced effort. Spills it. I don't even think you could call it a spill. I'm just trying to paint the picture for anyone that hasn't seen it. You know? Yeah. It was hit straight down his throat, but low. So he gets a good hand behind it. The ball spills up and Barnes just hits it into the roof of the net. So,
but the problem with this goal as well is that Barnes makes an arcing run. If I remember rightly, and I don't have them on loop here, I think Barnes makes an arcing run and then kind of just stops. And he just leaves Elmo like that. That there's two steps that Elmo doesn't have, and Barnes just gets kind of running him at the edge of the box, and Elmo is just caught flat footed. And look, exact same thing could happen, Matty Cash. It absolutely could have, but I suppose look, we conceded one, and then what? 6 or 7 minutes later, then we conceded it was actually 4 minutes later we conceded the next goal.
Yeah,
and I suppose like you know. for a team that does defend those areas or has defended those areas pretty well this year, it's just galling, I suppose, that when we make one change and Matty Cash goes out and Elmo comes in, and we're not digging him out here or anything like that, we're just calling it as we see it, that like it just goes to show that the cohesion of a back four is a super, super massive strength. And even when you bring in somebody as experienced as Elmo, you know, those 4 minutes of uncertainty have, which is completely, it's completely human, you know, to have those 4 minutes of uncertainty, no matter how professional you are, or how experienced you are. They capitalized on them. They smelled blood in the water and they went for it. And that second goal specifically, you know, once the first shot goes in and Barnes gets those two steps on Elmo, there's just no recovery from that. The area that he had to run into was too short and was too small. And when the ball just ricocheted back to him, and look, it is what it is, I suppose, after that. But yeah, once again, midfield nowhere to be found for that goal too. And that I think is the lamentation of the whole day. Our midfield, whether it be our two, or whether it be, you know, I suppose all three of our midfields were MIA times today. Probably being a bit harsh on Douglas Luiz because I think he got on a lot of stuff, but we were a bit MIA today until the second half. I think that's where we go to now, because we could spend forever talking about the first half. And look, I know people are probably screaming at their wireless or their receivers or whatever they're listening on. Saying, well, why don't we just name Ross Barkley? Well, we have, and we will talk about him, but look, we're not digging out players. It's not time for that. Yes, he didn't perform well. Okay, if that's what you want, if that's what people want to hear, Ross Barkley didn't perform well. He hasn't performed well since he came back from injury. It's all plain to see. Second half kicked off. We didn't have any changes, and we got a goal out of nowhere.
Yeah, very. I was shocked. Not half as shocked as Peter Schmeichel, who managed in all the shithousery he's good at to leave the knees in on Bertie when the
Casper, not in. Peter.
Oh, sorry, yeah, Casper. Oh, Jesus, don't get me started. Yeah. What a fucking asshole he is. Anyway, ball breaks.
Do you not
down
like Casper Schmeichel? I've no ill will to Casper Schmeichel at all.
I despise him.
Why?
He's the king of shithouse. He can fucking waste time. He's fucking moaning. And what summed it up for me was Ollie Watkins and Bertie trying to defend themselves. And it was him that did the damage. And the referee was telling the other two to get back. He never said a word to Schmeichel.
I suppose.
Yeah. Really bugs the shit out of me when that happens. And why didn't VAR get in his ear and go, Schmeichel has left the knees in there? Well, I know it wasn't.
It wasn't
anything serious. It wasn't like he did damage.
He just didn't need to. Yeah.
He wouldn't get off him. He stayed there. It's just like, how fucking dare you score a goal on me? You know, that kind of fucking stuff. Anyway, ball was down the left, you know, our usual attacking channel without Jack. But kind of a half nothing ball into the near post. Missed at the near post and just fell to Bertie 6 yards out and got there before Schmeichel, thankfully, and ball in the back of the net. I say thankfully, it doesn't mean a jot now at this stage, but I think it's a positive that it happened. I think it set us up for the second half. It really put our tails up. We played a whole lot better than I expected us to play. While I backed us to win the game at 2-0 down, just because the odds were outrageous.
Did you back a 3-2 scoreline at 45-1 like I did?
No, I backed Aston Villa to win at 2-0 down at 60-1.
How did you get Aston Villa? Oh, I backed the 3-1.
Yeah. Wait
a minute. I need to get your bookie.
You need to change your bookie, kid.
Yeah.
But you know, it was a good ball in from Targis. Good finish from Bertie. Got to be said, he was where you wanted him to be. Yeah. And unfortunately, we couldn't push on and get any more after that. Not for the want of trying, to be fair.
Not for the want of trying. And, you know, I suppose what we'll do is we'll fast forward, because that goal, it was what it was. Like, it caught everybody by surprise. But we get to the main talking point. I suppose the thing that everybody's going to talk about is substitutions were made and they made a difference. First substitution was Trezeguet comes on for very ineffective Anwar El Ghazi, as we said.
Yeah.
Big fan of Trezeguet, fan of what he does. my big problem with this is that, and I've said it a couple of times before, is Trezeguet isn't going to change the game for you. Trezeguet is the guy that you start and you get him to run himself into the ground and you take him off. Now, speaking out of the other side of my mouth this small bit here, he did well enough on the left-hand side. Although, you know, he's very much, he much prefers playing on the right-hand side, I think. On the left-hand side, he was fine. You know, he was fine when he came on, got into the box a couple of times. And actually, he made a couple of runs across the defenders. There was one ball that came into him. He was offside and he kind of fluffed his shot at Kasper Schmeichel. It was a glorious chance if he was onside. But I like Trezeguet. I think that we need to see Trezeguet in the team if Jack isn't going to be there. I just don't know whether we see him on the left-hand side. I think he's way better on the right. But then what do you do with Traore, who played pretty well today?
Well, you play him on the left, don't you? It just begs belief. We've got a left-footed player. Play him on the left. Try and even it out a little bit. I know, obviously, yeah, the object of the game is to cut inside and hit it with your left, and that's why he's on the right-hand side.
Play him up front. Play Watkins over there. Watkins are playing goal.
There's plenty we can do. But I know you're going to get to the big issue, which was the next substitution. And everybody.
I don't give a shit about the fact that he walked behind the goals. He took off all his boots and everything. I don't care about that. That's all fluff. It's all bullshit. Everybody else can talk about that. That'll be dealt with afterwards. I deal with Ross Barkley. Ross Barkley's play is the discussion point. I'm not even going to entertain any discussion about the taking 5 minutes to get back to the dugout. Doesn't matter a shit because he can't affect the team from there.
I'm not
even going to talk about it. I think it's just complete and utter fluff. You don't, like, for me, he's not starting the next day.
That's the big issue, is the attitude. But it was a show of petulance what he did. Now, we're not going to go into it, obviously. But if I was the manager, I wouldn't be entertaining him next Saturday. He wouldn't be part of my plans.
We sat here when Conor Horan walked behind the goals and Villa scored that he didn't celebrate and he was like a dog. And we absolutely said, look, listen, Joe, he was right to be like a dog. We stood up for him.
But he walked behind the goals and he made his way back to the dugout in proper fashion. You don't sit behind the goal and take off your fucking socks, for fuck's sake, like, and your shin pads. He shouldn't have done it. He just 2 weeks ago kicked the water bottles when he came off the pitch and we gave him the benefit of the doubt. What he did today was wrong.
I don't care about kicking the water bottles either. I couldn't care.
You didn't.
I couldn't care less.
I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I know at the time I said, and I still stand by it, that we didn't know what his character was like. So that's a fair comment.
That is a fair comment.
I think we can see today from his character that he is pissed off of being taken off. He's not pissed off with his performance. That's how I see what he did today. He's pissed off of being taken off. So it's just pure petulance. And he should come out and apologize for what he did. And that's just my opinion. That's what I would expect as a player. That was a distraction. There's fellas on the pitch looking, what the fuck is this fella doing behind the goal?
I bet you know and had an idea what the hell was going on.
I can assure you they did.
I'd be surprised. If they did, then they're equally as unprofessional as Ross Barkley.
Well, it was unnecessary. He didn't have to do it. But if he didn't do it, we wouldn't be talking about him.
I wouldn't drop him for doing that. I wouldn't drop him for kicking a water bottle. Because it's what you do in the field. What you do in the field is the big thing.
The big thing is he'd be dropped because of his performance today.
That's exactly it, 100%. Like, I don't start him against Leeds. I start Jacob Ramsey, because Jacob Ramsey today, when he came on, 17 touches of the ball in 13 minutes. And, you know, you extrapolate that up to the 76 minutes that Ross Barkley had, and he has more touches of the ball than him. He was also more mobile. He got about the field a bit better, spread the ball around. He showed up on the left. He showed up on the right. He showed up through the middle. The mobility is what's killing Ross Barkley, you know. I'm going to be objective, and I'm going to try and come up with devil's advocate comments about Ross Barkley. His performance in the field today was poor. It was first 10 minutes. He chased like a dog after a ball. It was fantastic. He did everything. Chased Ndidi, chased Tielemans. After that 10 minutes, he pulled right back into the center midfield and he was anonymous.
Yeah, it was like, you know, and let's be honest, we don't know if this is the after effects of COVID because we don't know whether he could got be. It or not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So is he being given every opportunity to prove his fitness? Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Has he proved he's fit? No, he hasn't. So for me, on his performance alone, he doesn't start next Saturday.
Yeah.
Whatever he was at behind the goal today would lead me to believe that he definitely won't be starting next Saturday. But that's just my opinion. That's just how I see it. I could be way off the mark. He could have felt a twinge behind the goal and decided to use that time to settle and I doubt it. You're talking about playing devil's advocate. That's definitely playing devil's advocate.
That's devil's advocate. No, that's just blatantly lying, I think. That's more devil's advocate.
I gave him the benefit of the doubt the last day. I'm not giving it to him today. I thought it was
and that's fair enough. But as I say, like, there will be column inches written over it. There will be Twitter threads over it. And for me, it's all irrelevant because what happened for the 76 minutes before that is the reason that he and like, we're not digging him out here, but we kind of are.
We kind of are.
But like,
we're telling it like it is. Like, they're just telling it how.
Yeah, he's suffering from a crisis of something at the moment. Like, if he's not fit or his confidence is low, and it's just been like that since he came back. He was playing lights out before he got injured. He really was.
He was perfect. And you know, before he came back, I was all for going to Chelsea and seeing if we could cut a deal for him in January. You know, if you're asking me now, should we sign him? My answer is no.
Not after, like, genuinely, I think what I saw from Jacob Ramsey today playing against that midfield has me super excited about him. Yeah. Just the movement. There's enough there,
and there's enough people we could be spending money on to come in without, you know, and we're talking about Colm Inches here. They are going to talk about his petulance going off the pitch.
Yeah.
That's not what this team has been about under Dean Smith, and I'm sure he's not happy about it. He won't be happy that the Inches tomorrow, and probably the headline will be about Barkley, especially seeing as we were dead and buried at half time and worked our way back into the game, and still we're spending more time talking about Ross Barkley than we are about the fact that, you know, the subs came on and did their best, and you know, as you say about Jacob Ramsey, start him there next week, or start Morgan Sanson there next week. Morgan is probably due a start as well.
Nope.
That could Ramsey be it for me.
Ramsey starts for me, or if we go with a four across the middle, then maybe, yeah, start Morgan Sanson on the right hand side. Put Jacob Ramsey out on the left. I don't really mind playing Jacob Ramsey as a kind of a left wide midfielder, or even a right wide midfielder. I don't really mind. But I don't think Dean Smith is going to do that. I knew the Ross Barkley thing was gonna come up, but you know, for me, it's, you know, we're almost the reason that I didn't want to get into the pieces is it kind of does brush over the performances the last couple of weeks. And look, he is a good player. He will come good again, whether it's for us, whether it's for another team. He's going to score another goal or two before the end of the season, and we're going to need the goals he's going to score. I'm confident of that. I just think this against Leeds and without Jack Grealish, if Jack Grealish is out, I think that we play more effervescent players, should I say, because Leeds are just going to buzz around the place like mad. And look, if we play Kane, Hayden, Kessler in right back, absolutely. Look, I think these players need to get their big boy pants now and see. We spoke with Jaden the guy who Dartmouth went to sign. we talked about him the other day, and we were saying if he's not getting into the squad at 19, well, then, you know, that's what they wanted. Well, we have two fellas here who potentially could be getting into the squad or even getting into the team, and they're only 19, you know. So this is good. This is fantastic. I'm really excited about Jacob Ramsey. And I've seen people say that, well, maybe he was only playing that way because Leicester were standing off him because they had the game won and they were just completely in contain mode. No, this guy's movement was something different. And we saw it against, when he came on, I think it was against Arsenal, and he had that little rollover. He rolled his foot over the ball and took a shot. Yeah. We saw him against Wolves, ran around an awful lot, did an awful lot of work against Moutinho, and I think it was it Neves? I think they played the two of them in midfield that day, you know, and he stood up to those guys. I want to see Jacob Ramsey in this team. And I want to see another homegrown lad, and I want to get excited about him. And Morgan Sanson will have his day, But I think Jacob Ramsey is the man. Look, why not start both of them? Maybe even play Morgan Sanson on the right and play Bertrand Traore on the left.
Possibly. If we go on a 4-4-1-1, yeah, that would probably be the way to go. And look,
go 4-4-2, play Bertie and Watkins up front.
Yeah, maybe.
Why not?
Yeah.
See? But I don't think we're going to do that. That's just us kind of spitballing here.
But I think the point is we've got pieces of the jigsaw there that we can put in. So, you know, use them.
Yeah.
And if El Ghazi is not cutting it, bring Philomena
Bedance, whatever it is.
Yeah. We'll get his name eventually when he probably leave.
JPB. Yeah. That's what we call it. JPB. Okay. Yeah.
Call him Bedace. Bedace. That'll do. Put him in there. Let him run at Leeds. He'll be full of beans. He'll really get at them. And it'll be the element of surprise that they're probably not expecting. Well, that's, you know, bearing in mind if we don't have Jack starting at the weekend, which...
I'd say we won't.
I would put money on it. No, I would say we're going to miss Jack until probably after the Wolves game.
After the Sheffield United game.
Who we got after Sheffield? Is it Wolves? I think it is Wolves.
We'll say until the game after the Sheffield United game.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll probably hear more because anytime Dean Smith speaks between now and next Saturday, it'll be all about Jack. So
absolutely, yeah.
Well, if it's not about Barkley, it'll be about Jack.
It won't be about Barkley. It will be about Jack. I completely forgotten about that. And that's where the Colin Minches are going to be. Maybe in local media, it might be about Barkley, but not in the national media. All in all. Look, that's the way it went down today. They're probably all the talking points. We could have snatched a draw later on. We would have absolutely pulled our pants down if we did. It was just one of those games that got away from us within a five minute period, and we were chasing our tails afterwards, and Leicester were pretty comfortable. Statistics wise, things kind of, we actually had more touches of the ball. We had roughly around the same amount of passes. We had they shot more, and look, shots win games, especially when they hit the back of the net, and that was a problem. We didn't get into the positions to shoot correctly. Like McGinn had 3 shots today. I think all of them were ones from outside the box that were like hitting hopes, half volleys and stuff like that. So it just didn't work from that point of view. Trezeguet had one that just like rolled into the keeper's arms.
Yeah.
Morgan Sanson had one that went wildly wide. Mings had a header that went wide. Konsa, I think, had a header that he looked like he was going to flick it out, trying to flick it back to the back post.
Really hit him strange. In the back, didn't it?
Yeah, hit him in the back. Luis had a shot that went wide. The Mings one,
I suppose, was the biggest one because that could have very easily nestled in the far corner. Probably a bit unlucky, didn't get more on
Let's drive everyone mad, Paddy, and say Courtney Howes would have scored it. No, actually, where is Courtney Howes? There's a question I want. If there are any beat reporters that are out there that would be in press conferences, I want to know where Courtney Howes is because I miss him. He's my boy. I miss him. I miss him dearly. But anyway, look, we're going to leave it there at that. We're going to leave the game at that. We're beaten 2-1 by a better team, a team that are pushing. They're going to be Champions League material. They're probably the form team after Manchester City.
I don't think there's any reason to be too disheartened.
Not at all. No.
I think our second half performance shows us that we're still there. We're still fighting, even without Jack. So we've just got to regroup now and get ourselves right for next weekend.
Absolutely.
And for the management team to sort out what way he wants to go and set up.
I think the biggest disappointing part today was the players that we wanted to step up didn't step up.
Yeah.
And people are annoyed about that. And I'm going to say probably rightly so.
And you're probably entitled to be.
Rightly so, exactly.
Guys, I don't envisage we'll see El Ghazi next week. Definitely not starting anyway. That's just my opinion.
I don't think we'll see him. I don't think we'll see Barkley and I think we might see Sanson and we might see Jacob Ramsey. We might see a bit of a change up in formation. See what the story is. Maybe just a change up personnel.
It's going to be a completely different game as well against Leeds.
Yeah,
you know,
it's going to be way more open.
You're not going to get any amount of time on the ball, regardless of what the score is. It's just Bielsa ball from start to finish. So I'm sure we'll come back and talk about it during the week, but I would envisage there's going to be changes, and they will They might even be at the expense of Bertrand Traore, because they will need people to get back and train, track back a bit better than he did in the first half. Not that I'm pointing particularly at him, but, you know, he could have done a bit better as well defensively a couple of times. He was just jogging back when...
That brings me to the point of who's our Lakers sports man of the match, because he probably would have been my call. Matty Target is pretty good.
I thought Matt Target would probably edge it over him. Watkins again ran his socks off. Absolutely unsung hero there. I just wish he would score more goals for him alone, not for any other reason. I think he deserves it.
I think his performances deserve it. Unless he picked up the ball and ran with it from halfway line today and plonked one into the top corner, he wasn't going to score. Like, you know, the service was nil. Service is nil to him. Yeah. But
and you know, we've singled out Elmo for the two goals. His in-game play on the whole was quite good as well. His distribution was good. His passing was good. His movement was good. It's just, you can't give players like that amount of space.
But look.
I'm sure there's probably others that don't blame him for it. There's just high octane game you're thrown in there, and you know, but we're just trying to call it the best we see it. And we said
it before the game as well, that potentially look, Harvey Barnes and him was going to be the matchup if we could keep Harvey Barnes quiet, and we didn't, because he got the touch to Madison and he got the goal himself, you know. So it's just one of those things. Like I said, there, Father Time is undefeated. You know, players get old, and when you get older and you're playing against somebody who's at the peak of their powers, you're going to have you can't have those missteps. And look, they capitalized on him. And there'll be days when we play against teams and we capitalize on them. God, we did it against Liverpool. We capitalized on every misstep. Yeah. Against Arsenal twice, we capitalized on every misstep. Against Leicester the last time, we capitalized on the one misstep that they had, and Barkley stuck it in the bottom corner. So, look, as I say, it's one of those things. We had no right to go out and beat Leicester today. We had a right to go out and be competitive. Probably weren't as competitive as we'd like for maybe 10 minutes in the first half, and we conceded two goals. We're a bit more competitive in the second half. And, you know, look, it is what it is. It would be nicer to have better performances from certain players, but that's the way the cookie crumbles, I suppose. We'll give Matt Target, our Lakers sports man, a match. And I think that's well-deserved. He didn't look like he was out of breath at any stage, and he had a lot of work to do. And I think he had about, if I'm not mistaken, I think he had nearly coming up on 100 touches of the ball. 95 touches of the ball. He had the most touches by far of any player on the field, by absolute country mile. He had 25 more touches than the next. He had 25 more touches of the ball than the Leicester player who had the most touches of the ball. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So,
like, we weren't completely overrun. Possession was 50-50 as well. You know, they dominated the first half, we dominated the second. We draw a line under it now, and hopefully we can regroup and go at Leeds next week, because I think we've got to push the teams behind us a bit further than be worrying about trying to catch the people who are in Champions League positions. It was a tough first half, better second half. We'll learn from it, I'm sure, and we'll be better the next day.
Yeah. What was the phrase that Lampard used to say all the time?
We go again.
Yeah, we go again. Guys. We go again. anyway, we're doing this podcast, and if this goes up on YouTube, which it will do probably tomorrow, you might be wondering why the hell I'm wearing a hat for the whole lot of the podcast. And number one, it's because my hair is kind of small bit crazy. I washed it and I went out for a walk with this very hat on. And my hair is like something like your man out of Back to the Future, Doc Brown out of Back to the Future. It's gone everywhere. But the hat is on because we have winners of hats to give away. We had our art competition, which was very well. It was very well. Should I say represented? Is that the word I'm going to say? There's a lot of entries, but we've whittled it down to two. I know I said I'd try and get somebody, but to be honest with you, there were two real standout ones. And I think, you know, I absolutely thank everybody for entering. It's there's some really, really cool ones there, but the winners are for the kids one. Oh, actually, I don't have the kids one's guy's name. I have his dad's name. There was a
probably
wonderful,
safer anyway.
Yeah, it's probably a bit safer with GDPR because his son is only 12 years of age. But Andrew Miller sent me an unbelievable drawing of Sir Paul McGrath, God himself, a fantastic drawing that I'm very tempted to print out and put up on my wall in that space that's vacant there on my wall because it's a really cool one. It's done. I'll put it up on the website if Andrew is okay with it. I better reach out to him. I'm making promises that my mom can't cash here at the moment. I'm writing checks here. I say that my mom can't cash, but it's done really cool. It's like in the form of a Panini sticker, and it looks really, really class. So well done, Andrew Miller's son, 12-year-old son. That is, there's going to be a hat winging its way to you. I will reach out to your dad for any details. And also, Carol O'Neill. What can I say about Karen O'Neill? Is one of the adults one. Fantastic drawing of Jack Grealish in the away shirt sliding down. It's brilliant. Some of you guys may have seen it. He tagged me in it and put it up on Twitter last night, and it is absolutely spectacular. It's really, really great. Like the quality of it is just fantastic. We had some other great entries in there as well. For the Adidas one, but Carl, your entry was fantastic, and fair play to you for doing that. It must have taken ages to do, but it's fantastic as well, and there's going to be a happening in its way to you. I'll reach out to you for your contact details as well, but thank you so much to everybody who entered. It's a bit of crack, over half term. And as I say, congratulations again to Carl and to Andrew's son. The hats are yours and they're on their way to you as well.
Excellent.
So that's going to do it for us today. We've waffled on an awful lot. We nearly fell out and everything on the podcast over Ross Barkley, which is something that never happens. But we're still smiling at the end. As they say, what does Lambert say again?
We go again
and onwards towards Leeds next weekend. Good thing, hope none of you got caught out by the time change today again. I'm still having a great laugh at that five minute announcement. But it wasn't to be our day today. Last 2-1 to Leicester. Always going to be a hard game without Jack Grealish, but as I say, we go again, and we'll be back to you guys with a preview show later on in the week. And all that's left to say is follow Paddy at Villa Paddy, follow the podcast here on at Love McGrath, and up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Podcast Network.